Start off with a little Mussar, I guess. Because this will probably be the last time that anybody will let me speak here, so I can say whatever I want. When my Rebbe, Reb Goldbach, finds out that I spoke here, so it'll definitely be my last time, maybe. I like to point out, being in his base medrash, this is, Reb Goldbach is one of the main people who turned me on to Torah. I certainly give my father tremendous zechus. If you don't mind, I'll dedicate this year a Zecher Nishmas, my grandfather, Yaakov Kuppel Menachem Mendel HaKohen, who's your site, is someone who, as well, taught me the passion and love of Torah, of Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Goldbach really was just seeing, someone gave me the idea of just sitting in his shir for once and seeing him go crazy over Torah. And I remember my first assessment was, he's definitely high on something, and I want that something. I want that, and that was called Torah. And Baruch Hashem, I was zoicha to that. So the Mussar I wanted to give you to start with, and then maybe we'll end with a little bit, although this will be a halachic shir, is that many of us, if I'm just making an assumption here, probably all of us come from a modern Orthodox background. And based on the way that you look, I'm now assessing you, the way that you look and certainly the way that your yarmulkes are, you all now think, my other Rebbe would say, that we all think that you're frumah from God. Maybe all of a sudden you became so frum now, you're in the kolel, you're learning, you're great, and you might see halacha in one way. And my job this evening is not to convince you another way, but to show you the different derech when we talk about this specific time of the year, which is quite interesting, because I think that when it comes to the halachos of the 3 weeks, there's literally like the Haredi way, and then there's like all this modern Orthodox Torah, and we have to see, where everything goes. And I'll give you the full side of the story, so don't worry, even though it's coming from me, so you probably won't trust me, but in any case, I think it's important to understand. The focus should be something central. Really what I wanted to end with, but I might forget. The focus is something central. And all the poskim will agree with this. And that is that this is about us focusing on the 3 weeks. This is about focusing on what it means to not have a Beis HaMikdash, to have a Churban. So all the pratim of the halachas and all these new things that we accepted upon ourselves, for there was a lot of these things never existed even 100 years ago. And all the Chumr certainly didn't exist 100 years ago, maybe even 50 years ago, maybe even 12 years ago. But maybe in the infinite wisdom of the Rabbanim, the Poskim of our generation, was very specifically because of Pashut, we can't focus on what a Beis HaMikdash means. And if I can be really, really not nice, I'm not sure that when the Beis HaMikdash, Emir Hashem, is rebuilt tomorrow, tonight could start tonight, this evening, first time Mashiach can come, is Moshe Shabbos. That's why the Svarim HaKadoshim say it's very difficult for us to sleep Moshe Shabbos. Nothing to do with the fact that you slept for 18 hours. But it's because Mashiach is about to come. And Neshama knows it's the first time Mashiach can come. So when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, I'm not sure everybody's going to go. Unless maybe if they could stay in the world, or if they could stay at the David Citadel, Nebuch. But if not, I don't know if everybody's going to stay for the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe Shlosh Megalim will go. We'll get a nice apartment. I'm not kidding now. So are we focused on the avelus of it, or is it just a shtick of, oh, we're going to be the guys that don't shave, that's going to be our thing? That's the focus, really. So speaking about shaving, what's this whole inyan? So it's quite true and quite obvious that this is not a Haredi inyan to discuss shaving, simply because they never shave. So, they might even hold this in as a deraisa to shave, certainly with some of the shavers that we use. So you're not going to see it so much in literature. Just like I like to say, very often we have, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful, amazing Rav. Rav Bixen, who's the Rav of the camp. But I get here and there questions from different campers. So the famous question always comes out this time of the year is, new Rebbe, can I go to the movies during the 3 weeks? And I always like to tell the story, which is totally not a true story, of the person who went to Rav Moshe Feinstein and said, Rebbe, is it mutter to see in the movies during the 3 weeks? And he says, 100% awesome. And the guy goes, wow, I can't believe it. And as he's walking out, Rav Moshe says, oh, and by the way, it's also during the 52 weeks. So, like, where did you get this question? Who's asking about Moshe Feinstein? Is there any movie, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, is there any movie really you can see now without there being some sort of Lashonos that are not appropriate or some image? Maybe it exists. But it's difficult. It's not the way that it used to be. So we need to understand, because looking in the audience, there are people who are clean-shaven, don't worry. By the way, one of the central shilas, which doesn't apply today, would be if it was obviously, according to Kol HaShitos, the 3 weeks started, right? The question is, when does the 3 weeks start? Does the 3 weeks start on Shavuos or B'Tamuz night? Let's just say tomorrow was really Shavuos or B'Tamuz. It's the 18th of Tammuz, as we know. So does it start at night? Would it start tonight? Or does it start tomorrow morning? This is maybe the first and only time, and to my knowledge, not that I know anything, but that Rav Moshe Feinstein says one way, and Rav Soloveitchik and Rav the Satmar Rebbe agree with each other. Good stuff. It's not about Halom Yom Ha'atzmaut. So, says Rav Moshe is a famed tshuva. It's in Chelek Aleph in Or Chaim. Rav Moshe was asked this question. There was a Shas Chak situation. It was actually a little bit similar. There was a Motzei Shabbos. Sunday was supposed to be Shavuos or B'Tamuz, a real Shavuos or B'Tamuz. And it was Shavuos or B'Tamuz, and somebody had scheduled a wedding for Shavuos or B'Tamuz night. It used to be a thing that saved a lot of money for people who didn't have money. Motzei Shabbos was a good night to have a wedding. It was much cheaper. And they either scheduled it or wanted to schedule it. Asked Rav Moshe, what do we do? So this Rav who asked him, so he thought that it would, Rav Moshe said it would be mutter. He says, really, the 3 weeks don't start until the morning because a lot of fast starts. So famously, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, said, Satmar Rebbe also says a similar idea. He says that he thought that the 3 weeks actually starts from the night. The Haraya is, if you look in the Rishonim, there's a question about when do we say Aneinu. It's a shtickle chutzpah for us to say Aneinu at Ma'ariv, right? Imagine saying Aneinu tonight at Ma'ariv, when all we're thinking about is what we're having from Malav Malka. It's not appropriate. But it is in the Rishonim that we should do that. So if that's true, so why don't we say it at Shachris? This is actually this piece. Anyone has Rav Konigsberg Sefer that he wrote on the Rav on Avelos, so he has it over there. So he says, so we should say it in the morning. We don't say it in the morning. Only the Chazas in the morning. Still a chutzpah. Why? What did you fast for? Like 12 minutes? Well, you should go, right? If you're a teen, I don't know if you saw this, but teens are davening Vasikin. I know, you see? One day a year that they're firmer than you. Right, the davening Vasikin. Why? Because they're barbecuing mamish until alois, and maybe they're even a little bit less mako. And they're big deal, right? They're davening at 4 o'clock in the morning. They'll be up anyway. It's a great idea. Whoever thought of it? Whoever thought of it is a great idea. Why? Because somebody in their infinite wisdom recognized that they're up anyway barbecuing until 3, 2 and 3 in the morning. How are they going to wake up for 9 o'clock, which is really 10 o'clock, shachris in the morning? Chabad, how are they going to do it? So it's a very good idea. But in the morning, so how much of the fast did you have? These the guys literally, they're mamish, they're lekoladeos, they're fleishik, even if they're from Holland, they're fleishik still, right? They're fleishik. So you're going to say Aneinu, it's not appropriate. But what does it show, says the Rav? It shows that really there's a Havam unit to start Aneinu at night. Ah, that shows something very important about the Shavuos or B'Tamuz really starts. We know there's a whole Indian, as I'm sure you guys know already, the Gemara discusses about why doesn't the fast start at night, Vayir, Vayivoker, it doesn't make sense, we should be fasting now. So we understand that this is Baruch Hashem, we're not Shas HaShmad, it is a watered-down version of what a real fast is, which is of course only Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. So back to our story. Soak shaving. So, my Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, I had the schus of learning by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I have a smicha from Rav Aaron. So Rav Aaron would say, if you look at the halacha speaks of only two things that are usher during the 3 weeks. Number one, this halacha, Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, Aval Tisparet Nohagim Lahachmir Miyud Zayin. The Rama only, as you know, if you're Svardi. Anybody here Svardi? I wouldn't raise my hand either. Uh-oh. One of my people, yes. So the Sfaradim don't even know what I'm talking about. This is like a waste. You could get up, like be upset now, get up and walk out. It's my Rebbe from the Leva Torah. Ah, right? There's no 3 weeks. But 3 weeks is nothing for them, right? You're eating, I don't know, there's a machlek is when Shavuot Shechalbo is, but if you want to be super, super not machmir, like there's no Shavuot Shechalbo this year. It's great. It's always great to be Sfaradi. But you got Slichos in like 3 weeks from now. Why? Because you don't have Shavuot Shechalbo and you got Kidney or you're on Pesach. Okay, so You need longer time. Yeah. By the way, from the yeshiva, it's one of our vendors once told me that. He came up to me. He's a real Sephardi guy. He goes, and he told me this good, that was his thing. He said, Sephardi said, so you're allowed to tell the joke of Sephardi said. Okay. So, back to our story. So, reliance on salvation, you should say, it was that and getting married. Right? The other halachas, right, that we know, that we don't get married during this time. Ein noisim miyudzayim betalmus veilach. The Rabbi would point out, that's the only two things that the halacha discusses, the actual halacha. Everything else is going to be added on. We'll try to get to a few of those things. So what's interesting is, it says, aval tisporet nogim lachmir. What does tisporet mean? Clearly haircuts. There's something called giluach, even in modern day Hebrew, they're two separate things. So the shaila is, did the halacha ever have the intention to mean it? And you can't tell me there was no such thing as giluach. Giluach was common. People used to use non-razor items. They had this thing, they actually still use this apparently in the army, where they put this cream on and they have this stick that comes off. It's horrible, apparently. But so there is such a thing. So the shaila is a good shaila. So the machim of the Rosh Yeshiva's Beis Medrash. So I remember Rav Goldbach quoting many times, for yeshiva bachrim, don't even think about it. Your yeshiva bachar is a yeshiva bachar. Yeah, there's no shiloh, yeshiva bachar should be machmir, as no question about it. Rav Poiskim say that shaving, a person shouldn't shave during this time. And obviously when it comes to Sfiras Omer and the Avelis is for the students of Rabbi Akiva, and you're sitting and learning Torah, and lo nugu kavod babazeh, maybe also an avera that maybe once or twice you did yourself. So at least for that you should. And during this time as well, who's going to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash? It's not the students who understand what it means not to have Torah in the same way that it used to be. Good. That's a possibility. I'll tell you a true story. I'm sure you probably heard this before, but it's a great story. The story is told about the chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Shapiro, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Meir Kasarav. And a bachar comes to him, like yourself, and he's got a hot date. Right? You know what that is, right? With the girl. Yeah, so he's not in the freezer. His mom is, he's dating. Obviously, you guys are all in the freezer now because nobody's here roy for you. So don't go to the canteen. Don't. They don't know. No, you shouldn't know what's going on there. Okay. So he's got a date and he can't believe it. This shidduch has read to him and this girl agrees to go out with him. And she's ois gehalten. She's got everything he wants. What's the problem? The dates during the 3 weeks. And so already now, you know, before the 9 days, a few weeks, and he looks horrible. So he goes to Rav Shapiro and he says, Rebbe, I need a heter to shave. He says, nah, yeshiva bachim yeshiva. He goes, Rebbe, I'm not going to get, look at me, I look horrible. So he says, okay, you know, we'll get to Rav Moshe's truva about Hefsed Meruba. You know, she's from a rich family, maybe, I don't know, but maybe the Hefsed Meruba here. Go ahead. They go out on the date and it's unbelievable. Oh. He sees stars, she sees stars, everything's going amazing. They're going to show you, mamish there with them, it's amazing, everything's great. And he's sure about it, he knows this is it. You know, comes back, he's so excited, he calls does the preliminary call to the shadchan. He's like, yeah, I want to go out again. He's like, she doesn't want to. And he's like, what? She's like, she thought you were amazing, you're wonderful, but she's looking for somebody a little bit firmer. Who shaves during the 3 weeks? I don't understand. Yeah, and he lost the shidduch because of that. But I married somebody else. Anyway, so, again. Fine. So, is there any makom? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein, at least I've seen it in three different places, in two of the tshuvas, in Or HaChaim, Chelek Dalet Siman Kuf Beis, and in Chosha Mishpat, Chelek Al Siman Tzadik Dalet, he writes as follows, that he writes, Ubudavar Giluch Ben HaMetzarim, Hine Im Einu Yachol Leilech Le'avodah Kishe Einu Migalech, Rasher legalech, kedesh lo yafsid. V'im hu rach b'shvil, she'egalo love, right? Lo yiyah hefseid mamon asar. So he gives two chilukim, and then actually in Or HaChaim, he writes, I'm just giving you the lashon, he says, for sure, during the 9 days you can't, but he says, if there's a hefseid meruba, he says. So people like to comment on this, what's hefseid meruba mean? Maybe Rav Moshe meant a real hefseid, but here, he says, is it just because people are going to make fun of him at work? That's not good enough. He says, Mama's a hefseid momo. So this is a good question. And I don't have the answer. I do try to advise Talmidim when they ask me this. I wonder, in the generation we live in, okay, in the United States of America now, men can wear women's clothes to work now. I mean, everything goes, right? Everything's mutter. You get chas v'shalom, you have a separate bathroom. You know, it's like crazy. So you're telling me a guy's going to come with a little bit of stubble that the boss is going to fire him, he's going to be a hefseid momo? I'm not sure. So someone argued, no, that's not true. When you're a partner in a business and you have clients that are coming, it could be, maybe, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% convinced that in our generation this is so, but it's a formidable heter if it's being used for the right reasons. I'm wondering what the Lashon is. Some want to say that he used the Lashon of Hefseid Meruba Mamish, and there's no Hefseid Meruba ever. You could lose it. I'm not sure. I'm just saying that I'm not sure. Again, Rav Moshe is not around to ask. I actually have the zchus of asking Rav Reuven Feinstein a number of questions. I'm going to ask him this question, but I'm not sure that, again, in the generation we live in, and everything's so, you know, I'm not sure. I'll tell you my own personal story when I'm in the business world. Now I don't have no issue because I decided to grow a beard so nobody can say anything. Apparently, because it's the in, you guys know this, it's the in thing now, right? Turn the tapes off for a second. But there's a, apparently a show even called Jimmy Kimmel or something where they have hipster hussies, right? And they look at the face of a person and say, what's the point? Why am I telling you this? Because it shows that the beards are in now. So if the guy's at work telling you I'm growing a beard, that's a cool thing now. It's an in thing. They have shops that only shave beards. Like, you don't go, you know, do haircuts. They just do beard. So it shows that there's a thing to have. So I'm not so sure that this is it, because people are growing beards anyway. So I had the following story. It was actually during Sfiras HaOmer, and I moved to Eretz Yisrael, so I had a job. I was working in an Israeli company, and it was after Sfira, after which is a whole shiloh in itself. I'm sure you know it was after Chol HaMoed, and I was in Eretz Yisrael. Even though Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says it's a mitzvah to shave every day, I didn't follow Divrei my Rebbe, and I was not shaving. And now it was going to be the first day at work, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm in Eretz Yisrael now. I'm going to go not clean shave. I'm not going to shave. And I remember my father, actually, my parents are still there. My father said to me, he said, you sure you want to go to work like that? Like, you look, you know, all the stubble. I said, well, let's see. If my boss says something, I'll shave. So I go to work, and as fortunately for me, but in this work that we had, so every morning my first stop would be the kitchen, because in the kitchen they had a soda machine, and they had sodas for a shekel. So I got to get my 8 sodas for the day, and you know, stock up for the family. And so I was going to get my soda, and who walks in? The CEO. Here we go. He looks at me, he goes, Daniel, I like it. Very good. You should grow a beard. You look much better. You're not ugly now. You know, like the typical Israeli, right? And I couldn't believe it. And so you never know. So I'm not so sure. What's the more famous modern Orthodox heter that everybody knows of? Is the Rav, or the Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. And this is quoted in Nefesh HaRav, and many other places quote this. Rav Konigsberg also quotes this famous idea, and it's a important idea of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and that is as follows. Paradigms. The Briskers like to have paradigms. This is not coming from Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. This is an early thing. This is a Rav Chaim thing, and that is that you can't invent new halachas. And this is really super interesting, because many people interpret, right? Just show of hands just so I know the crowd I'm talking about. How many people are in YU now? Raise your hand if you're in YU. Okay, good. So I don't know if you know, in YU is Rav Soloveitchik. So people like to say, and they say, oh, Rav Soloveitchik had these crazy minhagim, and he had the minhagim were minhagim. They were based on the Gra. They weren't his own things that he decided one day to wake up and make up. They were very into it, but they were into something called a paradigm. The paradigm is you can't make up a halacha unless it has something that it's similar to that made that halacha exist. So the example that the Rav said is you can't make up 3-week halachas unless it patterns something. So the famous pattern that the Rav had was Avelus, Rachmana Litzlam. When a person's in Avelus, there are different stages of Avelus. There's a state of Aninus, there's a state of Shiva, Shloishim, and the year. So when it comes to Avelus, Shemutu Lefanov, the raw Avelus, so it's as strict as possible right away. And this is, I would imagine, Lo Aleinu, but it's such a difficult thing to be in Aninus before the burial and not be able to do mitzvahs. It's a crazy thing. Refrand speaks about it the first time he was in Avel, and he said that he caught himself making brachos all the time. And that's where he spoke. He gave Musar about mitzvahs anashim lemodim, that we do mitzvahs out of rote. I didn't even know I was saying brachos because I was so, you know, I'm sure, come on, you've all been in that situation where it's Shabbos, right? Yeah, Shabbos, Ma'ariv, and you do the Slach Lanu, and then you know, you're in the Kailo, so you do Slach Lanu, you're like, ooh, I want everyone to know I have an itch here, right? Yeah, you've done it, come on, stop. Right? The Slach Lanu, the famous Slach Lanu in the middle. Right? We don't know, Nebuch Lo Lein, something we have to work on. So, Mutalafana, so we know we have a similar paradigm to this on Tisha B'Av itself. It's a think about this. We can't wear tefillin. It's amazing, right? Right. The first day we know is Avelus, right? Then Avel doesn't wear tefillin, so we symbolize this. And certainly, when it comes to the actual Shiva, a little bit a paradigm. We don't learn Torah. We sit on the floor like we're supposed to during Shiva, at least until Chatzos. But this is the paradigm of Shiva. And then, says Rav Soloveitchik, what comes next? Shloshim. Shloshim, we know, no shaving, no haircuts. That, he says, is the 9 days. Right? The meat idea is probably more based on the Isser Korbanos because of the Korban. And then comes the year of Avelos, and says the Rav, the year of Avelos is more similar to what? It's similar to the time we're in now, the 3 weeks. And there we have a din, Moed Katan, as I'm sure you know, Ad Sheyigru Bo Chaveiro. Really, the Isser of haircuts is the entire year. When I went to yeshiva, Rav Nevensal's father passed away, and the entire year Rav Nevensal did not get a haircut. And sometimes we would see, he would take his hat off, and we're like, oh, he's like one of us. You know, he had like, oh, he had long hair. He had long hair. And because he felt that that din was gibbi machmir on yourself. So when it comes to the 3 weeks, said the Rav, there's no yigro chaver. Nobody's going to come up to you and say you need a haircut. But when it comes to shaving, we shave every few days. And therefore, when it comes to an avel, so after shloshim, some communities, they actually have somebody from the Chevra Kedusha go up to the person at shloshim, the day of shloshim, and go, look at you, you look like I'm a nuvel. No, get a shave, get a haircut, or it's just an understood thing. And therefore, and then from then on, you don't have to tell them every single month. You don't have to tell them every single day. So that was the famous heter of the Rav, and why, lechachilu, nothing to do with work, you would be able to shave, there would be no problem with it. But the famous Torah, which I'm sure you've heard as well, is that of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. And this is where I heard from my own Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, it's all fine and dandy if we want to be machmer. I started off the whole shiur saying, you're yeshiva bachrim, don't listen to anything that I'm saying now, it's for later on, when chas v'shalom you have to work or something, you know, that's for later. But you're yeshiva bachrim, and you should shave, you should be machmer. What about Shabbos? So comes along a beautiful piece that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wrote, and he says as follows. This is in something called the Daf Kesher of his yeshiva, of Gush. And he wrote this, 5748, Yom Yerushalayim. And he says as follows. And this is a similar idea that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Rebbe. So he says the crazy Tosfos over there. Tosfos in Tanis and Daf Lamed discusses Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Yom Chamishi, right? Right, I feel like every single Tisha B'Av for the last few years has been on a Sunday, right? Maybe because it has. But so on and so forth. But the Thursday is a pretty popular day for Tisha B'Av as well. So now comes along Tisha B'Av on Thursday. Says Tosfos a Chiddush. Aval says Tosfos, Dechal Tisha B'Av behei b'Shabbos mutar l'kavesh l'saper michatzos ve'elech mishum kovet Shabbos. I don't know what situation you have over here, but I can tell you there's a big fight, a hack going on with the staff over here and the washing machine. We have our own washing machines and dryers, which you probably use at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I bet you. You're probably one of the people who violate. So what's happening? All these people are using it. You have a slot. You have a slot. And you get the 8 o'clock slot. Oh, you're talking. Somebody went and they used my machine, and I got there. And there was a kid, Nebuch, who at 3 o'clock in the morning, a teen, who used it. And he forgot to change it because he fell asleep. And now his wet clothes are there. The whole shiloh now, what do? Do you be a nice guy and put it in the dryer, or do you take the clothes and throw them on the floor? Okay, you have like a Silberstein shiloh now about damage and stuff. Okay, no, not for now. They're not so machmir and Camp Messoyer that they think about Silberstein shilohs. But what's the hack? Now there's only two machines that work. So now you have this would be a mamisha shiloh, right? I don't know what to do. It's now going to be, I don't have stuff for Shabbos. So says Tosfos Meforish, Mishum Kovet Shabbos, on Tisha B'Av, but I'm not allowed to. Remember how they used to do laundry. I'm not allowed to wash myself. I'm mamish washing my whole body. Okay, lo shaltanik, I understand, but still, how is it allowed? It's true, halacha l'maisa lohaya. The Magen Avraham writes, definitely you can't shave or anything or get a haircut, but he says, yeah, to launder, if you have no other time, you can't do it. Mestama will be mutter. Even the Bir Halacha quotes this in Tav Kuf Nun Aleph and writes, b'chudushei Rabbi Akiva Eger hevia b'shem ha-toisvais, you can be makel on this. Again, the oilam's not makel, but that's not the point of the Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Lichtenstein says, what do we see here? Something trumps, clearly, sorry I used the word trump, something overrides all these different menagim, and that's something called Kovet Shabbos. So Mishum Kovet Shabbos, says Rav Lichtenstein, a person now falls into a brach, where he has now a minhag that he's accepted, a wonderful, great thing. But now he has a mamash halacha of Kovet Shabbos. And we know this halacha of Kovet Shabbos. If you take a shower, if you have a hot shower, people go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. You used to wear nice begotim, which is not the minhag in camp by everyone. But that, right, that's, right? It's a big thing. It's a big thing. I have the schus. I'm able to. I don't work here. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't work here. I come up only on the weekends. And for some reason, because I don't work, I think you give more shiurim to the camp than any rabbi does. I don't know exactly what wrong. So I was speaking today to the teens, speaking to Shahab. I don't know all these people I've never met before. And I was saying to them, yeah, give them mussar. There's something called Kavod Shabbos. You have to dress in a certain way. You don't dress like you're going to a baseball game, but you probably wouldn't even dress the way you dress now. So that would be the shaila. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has this famous thing. I'll be very honest with you. Again, I live in Eretz Yisrael. If you're from, like, it's basically everybody, nobody shaves during, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe the community, I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, maybe I'm wrong, I'm not sure, but I'm giving you all the different shitas. Halacha l'maisa, obviously you're going to ask your Rav what exactly to do. I believe that Yeshiva Bachurim should not be shaving during this time of the year. I think it's very important for them to understand what a Churban is, what it is not to have Beis Mikdashenu, what it is to not have the Shechina with us. I think that that's important, but who am I? We should know these different Shitas. The work Heter, Rav Soloveitchik's Heter for always, again, I'm not talking about the 9 days, just for the 3 weeks, and the Chavod Shabbos, whether how you would answer that. Okay, we're done with the first, and we'll get to the final section. Anybody have any questions about this shaving thing? Yeah. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is very, again, is lone somewhat in this, and it's known that the Gush people, they're very into this Kavod Shabbos thing, and this becomes a shaila. The big shaila becomes, it's a really good shaila, would be the following case, which is halacha l'maisa mamash. I'm shaving for work, and now they let me work from home on Fridays. So Friday is now the only day where I'm a little stubble because I have no heter to shave. I don't hold from the Rav's idea. So now the question is, should I shave the Kavod Shabbos? This I've seen discussed, again, only our poskim are discussing this, right? Whether or not, right? So you have someone like Rav Shechter, who is a fan, yeah, you should have a Kavod Shabbos. It's a one-day stubble. You should. Others say no. He's again, it's hard to, excuse me for saying, my own Rebbe disagrees with this, but it is a little bit difficult. I'm not doing this not to show the Kavod Shabbos. The Haraya, I think the greatest Raya is, the whole reason why we don't shave in Chol HaMoed is why? So I shouldn't come into Yontif looking like a Manuvels. But now the second Yontif you do, nobody discusses that. So there has to be something that gives here. I think L'maisa, that this is not something that's not a huge heter that people follow. But it's important because Halacha L'maisa would be, if I'm holding for Rav Moshe, what do I do on that Friday that I'm working home? Should I shave the Kavod Shabbos every single day? Certainly I see no heter to shave on Sundays, I would say. Yeah. So now we can't, because now we're in the 18th of Tammuz. But according to that idea, that would be the machlokes between. Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you look at right over there, the tshuva, I think even Rav Moshe's tshuva is b'dieved. It was a mistake that was done. He definitely has that, the idea, has the same thing by Aser B'Tavis. He holds the same thing, that a fast day, even though it doesn't start at night, it's not appropriate to have things like this, these type of events. That's what I would say. Yeah. Okay, so let's just we'll end off with the more, on the Maisa, and we won't be able to get through everything, but music. Music becomes like the big deal. Just as I'll mention very, very parenthetically about Shachianu. I don't have much to say about Shachianu simply because I wonder if Shachianu should be said anymore. What do I mean by that? So we know the halach is meforish, that a person should not say Shachianu. Why? Because you say the words, Lazman Azeh. Shachianu became out of Lazman Azeh, and this is Lazman Pranios. Famous tshuva from Ravad Yosef, where Ravad Yosef says that's good for the 3 weeks, let's say, but Sfira is not a Zman Pranios L'Klal Yisrael. It's a beautiful time. Pashas Emor, the Ramban, Chol HaMoed. How can you not say Shachianu? Okay, so there's a question. So the only reason I'm asking the question is I wonder, what do we really say Shachianu on today? It's a question. I'm not saying, consult your Poisek, but one could argue that we live in such an affluent society. People buy suits like it's nobody's business. Now, I could tie it to you. But I used to live in the Five Towns. So it's not my fault. I was born there, right? So anybody that knows the Five Towns a little bit, so you have like the Emporio, right? You know what I'm talking about there? The Emporio, and you have like Suit Central, right? And then you have Marshall's, where I would go, right? So there are different people who do different things. If I buy a Calvin Klein suit from Marshall's, I don't know why. I think I hit a jackpot, where another guy would be, ugh, Nebuch, I had to go to, I'm not sure. right? Where Soup Central, Nebuch, Soup Central used to be in the basement on Central Avenue. It was like you had to know that you were, you know, you weren't rich. I don't know. So he has any simcha, he's wearing a garment. Besides the fact that your parents are probably buying you a begadim. Anyway, there's a shaila. It's a shaila. I live in Eretz Yisrael. When I buy a suit, I say shachianu because I have a tremendous amount of simcha. I don't buy suits so often. And it's a big simcha. It's a simcha for me just in general because everybody always makes fun of me. Why are you still wearing a suit? You live in Eretz Yisrael. It's 150 degrees, especially here in Camp Masorah. Because like, to wear a suit in Camp Masorah, it's like, it's crazy. You guys should realize. Your mom is keeping this place alive because we're still machmir wearing suits. Tie, that's crazy. It's a tuach nefesh because it's 180, I don't know what this whole thing, 180 degrees outside. It wasn't so bad. Okay, fine. I mean, I have air conditioning in my bed. Okay, fine. But, so I'm not so sure. A pre, do we say shachiyanu or not? I don't know. Again, I always joke about this because it's not true. One of my rabbis was Rav Sobolovsky, so I always joke with Rav Sobolovsky. I said, we finally have a machlekes with you. Why? Because I said, he says he doesn't think you make a shachiyanu on papers anymore. Why? You go into any Korean fruit market, you can get any pre you want any time of the year. It's almost hard now to have that pre on, but I always joke about this, our papers. The only time we ever make a shachiyanu is when? On a pre? Right? It's Rosh Hashanah. Which I don't even understand that. So my famous story is I had the schuss of helping Rabbi Soletsky open his shul. So I was the shofar blower there. So I wanted to show how frum I was, like you guys back in the day. So I put on my velvet yarmulke, and I brought the second day. It's not just a shiloh by the second day by kiddush by shofar blowing. What am I making it? Yom Arichta. This is really true, guys. And I had a pre. I bought a new pre, and I was going to hold the pre in the shofar with all the kavonis when I made the bracha with the talis over the head. Except through the me bringing it and walking with it, the pre got a little juice on the shofar. You know, it wasn't so. And I take out it, and Rav Soloski looks at my shofar, and it's like juicy and got. And I said, I'm going to show how machmir. And I take out the pre, and he looked at me like, oh, you're so concerned. Get out of here. What are you doing? He didn't think that you needed the pre. Furthermore, he questioned, what do we do, most of us? We've had all the payros in the world, so what do? The Korean fruit market, they know exactly if you live in the right neighborhood, you know. You live in Teaneck, they go, oh, look what I found for you. I find kumquat from Asia for you, you know, and you're so excited. And you get this pre, and what happens? You all know the same thing, right? You say, everybody have kavanah for the shechiyano, and then you have the pre, and what do you do? Oh, this is disgusting, it never tastes good, it never works out well. If it was a good pre, everybody would be eating it all the time, no? So that's a shechiyano, I don't know. So what was my machlokes, Rabbi Soloski? In Eretz Yisrael, we have onot. We have seasons. So, right? So, cherries, for example. Two times a year, that's it. You're done. It's a big... Maybe I'm very Israeli, but my kids are really excited when cherries come out. They don't see cherries all year. Right? Strawberries, whether or not you eat strawberries, a whole different thing. But if you're not from like me... So, strawberries come out a few times a year. It's a simcha. I think you do make a shachiyan on it. Again, if you're not in America back and forth a lot, but... A pineapple. They just started now making pineapples. A new thing in Eretz. Pineapples. Holy cow. Yeah, if there's a simcha. It's just another musar. It's just another musar vart for another time about how Nebuch, we don't have simcha about these things anymore. I'm wearing a new suit. I don't even think about it. I was able to spend $300, $400 or even $100 on a suit. Something to think about. Where does music come from? So music is very interesting. Very interesting. So music comes from, of course, as I said, you're not allowed to get married. So says the Magen Avraham. And it says not only you can't get married, but also we don't have to sue this Erison. So he says, why? Vinirali to usser. Why is it usser? La asos rikudim machlob yudzayim betalmus ve'elach. This is based on the whole din of, yes, we're supposed to be concentrating on something. And by the way, just like we have, for example, a yontif, we have the mitzvahs of the day. So we have the Yisra Malacha. Shabbos, the Yisra Malacha is mamish because of Yisra Malacha. The reason why we can't do malacha on Shabbos is to concentrate on the day Shekulu Shabbos is no malacha. But why is there an Issa malacha on a Yontif? Because on Pesach, I want you to refrain from doing anything else that's not Yontif-tik, so that I concentrate on the mitzvahs of the day. Right? There was a shaila. I shouldn't discuss this because I might go on Yom Torah, but I'll say it anyway. This is a shaila. There's certain people that I might know that live on the side where I live, and they were having a competition today. I never heard of this thing before. Something called corn roll, corn, you go like this and do a board. What's it called? Corn. Good, you don't know what I'm talking about. Corn what? Corn. It's an ESPN thing now, I hear. So they said to me, there's nothing ulcer with this. And so I said privately to a few people, I think it's 100% ulcer. It's 100% ulcer. Why? I said, first of all, you're dressed in uniforms. Like, we're not dressed in uniforms. I was like, yeah, you're wearing shirts and t-shirts. That's a uniform. It's not Shabbos day. And this is not what you're doing on Shabbos. What do you do? Nobody listens to me. It's fine. But, They said, Rabbi, should we put you on the, they had the whole thing, you know? So, no, I don't play. During the week, I wouldn't play it either, but okay, fine, I didn't tell them that. It's on Shabbos day. So the same thing over here. We have things that we concentrate on. What? So I concentrate on what I'm supposed to be thinking about today. That's why we're not eating tomorrow, by the way. Right? It's not about not eating. All the it's hard. I understand. But the campers are going to be thinking about, oh my God, when can we eat? When can we eat? When can we eat? You know what? I'm not that. You know, maybe it's better, especially if you're under bar mitzvah, it's better to eat and have some time concentrating on what it is not to have a korban based on mikdash. But okay. They didn't ask me. So it's this famous Magen Avraham that says it's an issue of rikudim u'machalot. And this is a very important Magen Avraham, because that's our yesod, probably one of our chief sources of not listening to music. So one could already start to hear, well, wait a minute, what if the music is not rikudim music? Something to be said. So yes, it's true. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva on this. Rav Moshe says something amazing. That tshuva is over there as well in Chelek Aleph. Simon Kuf Beis, I believe. No, sorry. Kuf Beis was the tshuva on what he called, we said before, about shaving. But about music, so says Rav Moshe, again, a fundamental yusoy. Rav Moshe says that a person is not allowed to listen to music during this time, including, this is a famous question, is what about taped music, right? Your iTunes and whatever you have nowadays, would that be mutter? So let's backtrack for a moment. Says Rav Moshe, there's a machlekes in the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Zayin, believe me or not, it's there, right? Where the Gemara in Gittin says the following case, right? There's also Gemara in Sanhedrin, I know. So the Gemara says, talks about, what's of the Yisurim, right? There's a famous, obviously, Shulchan Aruch discusses, what is Zeche L'Churban? What do we have of Zeche L'Churban? Right? This was a good question I asked the kids today. What's Zeche L'Churban? What's the answer? Let's see if you can answer what they answer. What do we do Zeche L'Churban? Svira. Very good. Right, but as I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Shulchan Aruch that says, right, the what? The Dalal Adala. Right? Quickly, if you don't mind, I'll tell you my Dalal Adala story. When I moved to Eretz Yisrael, one of the things I always wanted to do in my life is have a Dalal Adala. It's one of my big... So Baruch Hashem, we bought a house, it wasn't lived in, and it was being redone, and I said to the... There was a... As many houses in Eretz Yisrael, there were Arabs that were working in the house, and there was a Jewish guy that was in charge of them. There was a Hasidish guy from Bnei Brak. Maybe not. I'm not sure if it's. I don't think it was Chashish actually. It was a yeshivish guy from Bnei Brak. So I said to him, I don't want the Arabs doing the Dalal Adala. I want you to do the Dalal Adala. He goes, oh, with pleasure. I'm going to do it. Don't worry. I'll measure it up. I come back from, you know, we didn't live in the house yet, and I've never seen the Dalal Adala. It's supposed to be like this Dalal Adala. It's huge. A huge Dalal Adala. I go, what did you do here? He goes, Slicha, animi Bnei Brak. Chazonish. The Shir Chazonish. So he did a Shir Dalal Adala of the Chazonish. So then, wait, it gets even better. Shalom Bayis. My wife comes and she says, oh my God, that looks horrible. I'm like, aha, that's what it is. It's supposed to look horrible. I told her. She said, no, you could see the brick. I go, no, that's what it is. That's what the whole thing. She said, I know, but when you walk in the house, you're going to see it. Yes, that's what it is. That's what her voice said. That's what it is. I'm so happy that he did this stuff. Mama's people come into the house and this looks terrible. I go, we have no base of English. So that's one. What else? What else? No, what else? Zecher l'Churban? The ashes on the head. Not everybody does this. Good thing. Rav Salvechik was very machmir on this. I had a very interesting story of my wedding. Very interesting story. My wife always says, at my sister-in-law's wedding, her sister, so something went wrong majorly. In the middle of the chuppah collapsed on them. Great video, by the way. Yeah. They won $100,000 on America's Funniest Video. But, no. Something happened with what do you call it? The flowers were too heavy, whatever. So she says, my wife says, Baruch Hashem, at our wedding, nothing happened, thank God. I'm like, hi. The Masada Kedushin didn't show up. So Rav Aaron Salvechik was supposed to be the Masada Kedushin. Unfortunately, it's a long story, but he didn't get there on time. So Rav Goldbach, I had already told him, Rav Aaron was getting older in those days, and I wasn't sure how we... So Rav Goldbach stood in, he was my Masada Kedushin. So I knew, I followed all of Rav Aaron, had plenty of chumras that I had to follow. Rav Aaron also held on the ashes. But I did all the chumras of the briskers, and the one thing that was a little bit more machmir that Rav Goldbach did is that he like really is machmir on the afer. So he took out this little envelope that he actually gets from, in those days, from underneath Yeshivat HaKotel, which was the base, the house of the Kohen Gadol, and there's still ashes there. So maybe Hayitachin, it could be from the, I don't know. And he puts it on your head, but he doesn't just put it like over here. I wore a hat because Rav Aaron Salvechik held. I used to be like you. I wore a hat because the Rav Aaron said it's Yom Chuppah, so it's Yom Matan Torah, right? So you should wear a hat. You're greeting the Shechina. And he says, no, you have to see it. And it was like, so my father's like, you can't, this picture is going to be all black. What do you say? Aha! Right, that's it. No, what else? What's the most famous? Everyone, come on. The glass is the most famous thing. So it's not so posh, as I'm sure you know, the Gemara in Bracha says that's not really the reason. The reason is that we shouldn't have too much simcha, but that is one of the reasons. Nebuch lo alein, my parents once had a wedding. It was a Reform wedding, back in the day when Reform rabbis were men. So, the Reform rabbi says, you can't believe this is mama's true. The Reform rabbi says, he says like this, he says, now we're going to break the glass, one of the most important parts of the ceremony. I'll be honest with you, I don't know the reason why you break the glass at the chuppah, but he says, I think it's to end off with a bang. Nunu lolene. So one of the things that I hate about the glass breaking ceremony is, of course, what do? And then, Mazel Tov, Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Woo! What's going on? So Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva about this. Rav Avadya says, what should you do? You should sing in Mishkachech Yushalayim and break the glass in the middle. Everybody sings in Mishkachech, nobody listens to that. So I was never a Masada. Who asked me to be a Masada Kedushin? But I had a cousin. My cousin asked me to be a Masada Kedushin, and I told him all the Minhagim. I said, I've never been a Masada Kedushin before, but if I was going to be a Masada Kedushin, here are some of the Minhagim. So I gave him this Rav Avadya Minhag. I said, so I think it's really cool. Break the glass. So he says, I love that Minhag. I hate when they sing. I go, exactly. So that's what we're going to do. So if you're a rookie like me, you got to tell the photographer everything. I didn't tell the photographer. And I didn't tell anybody else. This is a secret between me, the Chassam, and the Kala. So my mom was really nervous that I was being Masada Kedushin, because it's like a real thing. You know, like, if you don't do well here, you have a big problem. So mom's like, are you sure you can do this? I'm like, I can do this, mom. I got this, right? So I saw the look on my mother's face when he, all of a sudden, is saying, I made him say the words privately. He said it to me, and then he hits the glass, and you see the audience go, no! Right, that's it. That's the Kedushin's Machal. It's terrible. And so everybody knows. The Gemara says the Kedushin, Shtar Kesef Kedushin Vih. Glass, right? And I see my mother mouthing and saying, oh, yay, yay. Right, as it turns out. And then afterwards, some people ask me, why did you do that? And these are, you know, minor Orthodox people, they're like, wow, that's a great minhag. I'm like, yeah. To my shayla s'tshuva s'chavadaz. You know, like, I didn't make it up. It's there. So it makes sense to do it then. Why? Because how can you say mazel tov? Fine. So the question is, another zecher l'churban that's discussed there is no music, right? Gemara says, right? You're not supposed to have music. So it's true, Rashi over there says, of course, Rav Moshe points out, Rashi says, it's only bebeish ha-mishta. And if you think that this is just a crazy thing, I think this is mamish noeg by zman hazeh. I'm sorry to say this. I don't know why hashkachas should come out against this. Let's say you have, I don't know, let's give a name of a restaurant. I can't think of a crazy name. Doghouse, I don't know, some crazy name. Right? And they have a guy come in to play jazz one night. This happened. Come in to play jazz, and they're serving drinks. That's exactly what the Gemara is talking about. It's a base on mission. They're not playing Jewish music. That's usher. The Rambam doesn't say this. The Rambam over there, the Rambam says, Mefurish what? It's everything. You're not allowed to music, Bela, what's that? So Rav Moshe says, at least this time of the year, we're remembering the Churban, don't listen to music, at least, right? I think it's similar, I think Rabbi Soloski said this, it's similar to Pasakov, right? We're Paspalter Jews, not you, obviously, the camp is Paspalter Jews the whole year, right? But when it comes to everybody says, what are you so firm all of a sudden? It starts to be a tshuva. No, that's not it. At least one time of the year. This is the time we should be machmir on things. And it happens to be, I've seen in Svarim write, that you should be machmir on other things. You want to hold from the chumra of Chalv Yisrael and have real Chalv Yisrael? That's also good. You don't want to speak Lashon Hara? It's also good. Right? You should. This is the time of the year. This is not, you're not faking out the Rabbanu Shalom. You're saying this is an extra Tara time. The Rabbanu Shalom gave me 10 extra days to do tshuva. So Rav Moshe is very difficult not to lean on, because the emotion makes sense, and he says you can't listen to music. Now, it happens to be that Rabbi Rappaport, who's the Rosh Hashiva in the Bar Ilan, who's the grandson who wrote many of the tshuvas, especially the newer tshuvas. So there, he writes, he has a piece where he writes, Rav Moshe never intended to be speaking about background music, number one. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes this in Halicha Shlomo, where he says, you go into a store, you don't have to go to them, no! 3 weeks, and the guy's like, "Ani svardi, zeb mutali." Like, Allah, fuck! Then you start throwing rocks at him. Because background music doesn't matter. In fact, in the Dirshu, in the edition there, the Dirshu has a question about music. Let's say you're a bus driver, right? Nebuch, you're a bus driver, and the Nebuch part is, and he talks about Kolisha, which is the other. I could have given that year as well. I think that's the year I gave last year, right? About the Zimriah, You know, I know why it's called Zimriah, guys, right? Zimri, Parsha. This week's Parsha is Parsha Pinchas. That's why it's called Zimriah. Okay, good. It's funny, you're laughing now because the head of the camp, Rabbi Katz, didn't like that joke. So, okay. So, very strange. Different jokes work different places. Okay. So there in the Dershu, he asked the question. I forgot who he asked the question. I forgot which Pesach answered this question. I think it was Rav Yosef, if I'm not mistaken, or Shlomo Zalman, I forgot, about a bus driver and the girls are singing. Same thing would be by Sviro, the 3 weeks. So they ask you to play music. So he says you don't have to, drive the bus off a cliff and say, I'm not allowed to listen to music. He says, let them, okay. It's background noise. But here Rav Moshe says, even if, this is according to Rabbi Rappaport, even if it's music, this almost bothers me, and this is a very important heter. I want to get into the 3 weeks. I was so inspired by Rabbi Hartstein's drasha. I want to get into it. So, unfortunately, I'm very far away from it. I want to listen to music. I want to listen to Rachem. I want to listen to good, soft, kumzitzit type music. Rav Moshe says, Osir. He says, no, Rav Moshe never said that was Osir. That's totally mutter. It's going to get you in the mood? That's mutter for sure. You can't say that that's Osir. Others disagree with Rav Moshe's chiluk, and it's a beautiful idea. But they say, and this is the more of the, again, going back to Rav Soloveitchik's idea of it being the year of Avelos, it's not so partial that during the year of Avelos you're not to listen to music. All Haredim don't listen to music, that's true. Don't get me wrong. And I will just have to quote this tshuva because it's one remarkable to me. The Minchas Yitzchak, Diane Weiss, the Rav Yerushalayim, so he says the following thing. He says, Ein Safek, Dehaminak Shelo Nitnaheg Miklei Zemer Bimei HaSfira, Godol Koa Chaminak, De Noheg, ready for this, guys? Isser de Oraisa, de Havei Kemo Neder Shemekabel of Lasley Smitzvah Min HaTorah. Right? It's not your fault. But you grew up in a generation where until now you thought this was Mamish Aser. You thought you're not allowed to listen to music. So you were Mekabel Neder. Rav Shechter uses this. He said you should always tell a Bar Mitzvah boy about the Mitzvah of Maisik Safin. Because every Bar Mitzvah boy thinks Maisik Safin is an Isser de Oraisa, and they think they have to give Maisik Safin. Rav Shechter happens to be Mekel and thinks it's a Minog Ba'alma. But if you tell them it's a minhag ba'alma, they know it's a minhag ba'alma, so if they're not machmir about it, it's a minhag. But if you're taking something upon yourself, he says, it's like an isser Torah, because I took it upon myself, a minhag like a neder, and he doesn't even say a Torah's nedarim. He says, worse. He said, isser d'oraisa, you can't forget about a Torah's nedarim. You know what? Very strange. Isser d'oraisa, can you imagine? Like, it's a good quiz question. Which one of the, Sfira Sa'im, how can you say, okay. But there is a line of thinking of saying that the music that's usher during this time, and during, by the way, the year of Avelos, is only something that's the Isser of Rikudim, that's going to lead me to dancing. Now, it's true that there are many poskim out there who don't agree that this is true in a situation of a Sudas Mitzvah. So, for example, to actually have an engagement, that would be Mutter. The Abudrat, the Lavush, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Haril, the Magen Avram, all say the engagement is Mutter, it's just not the actual dancing. Rav Moshe was asked about fundraising dinners. This is actually a good time of the year to do dinners because nobody's getting married now and everybody will come, hopefully. So the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and the Minchas Yitzchak say, yeah, you can have a dinner, but no dancing, the same type of thing. The Nitzah Gavriel, right, there's a great, great, wonderful sefer. So he writes that during a Siyum Masechta, as you guys know, you will be part, I assume, of the Siyum Masechta that will surprisingly happen here during the 9 days, just happens to be those days. And so the question is, was dancing going to be allowed? So Chatas Eni Maskir Ayom, a number of years ago, I ran a program here in Misora, a Beis Medrash program. And it happened to be in this Beis Medrash together with Rav Goldberg. And I was speaking to the boys about how there was going to be that night, there was going to be the Siyum Masechta. And I said, it's your job. One of our jobs was different than this program. They were part. They were part of, they had jobs in camp. So they were team counselors to try to give chizuk to the teams and so on and so forth. They said, guys, it's very important. You got to be in the center of the circle. When they dance, I want you to dance. I want you to show that everybody, the team should look and they should say, what are these crazy people doing? What is it? Ma'ahafti Torah Secha. What does that mean? You should be part of it. And Rav Golich got up and Rav Golich said, it's also to dance at the, you're not allowed to dance. And he was quoting his Rebbe. I happened to find somebody else was sitting there, and he showed me Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer there, where Rav Chaim and quotes his father-in-law, Rav Yashav, who said, no, you should show, you should dance during this time. That's mamish when we're talking about doing rikudim. The question is, can I listen to private music that is upbeat? That's, I think, a very important question. And there, based on my Rabbeim, Rabbi Willick holds this way as well, that might be mutter. you're not, even though I know sometimes you go a little crazy in the car, right? You're in the car and a good song comes on, right? And you go, woo, yeah, you're going like this, and the guy passes you and you're like, oh, you know, okay. That's not considered to be rikudim. In Hachanami, 100%, I don't understand this. I've given a shiur just on the topic of a cappella music. It's an amazing thing that was invented that somebody thought that it was a kula. I can't find that rabbi that gives the kula in a cappella music, right? It doesn't exist. It's a great thing. They invented this whole thing, a cappella music. But we know that you can listen to a cappella song, and this, I don't know, the synthesizer and the guy that's going, whatever he's doing, it could lead you to dancing the same way. And clearly, somebody who's playing tape music, there's great tshuvas over there. We don't have time, but the Tzitz Eliezer and Rabbi Pesach Frank and the Rav Vadia all have tshuvas where they're clearly against the tape music either because of it being like that. But we know today, it sounds exactly the same. I'm sure you've been to Sochas before. This is a business now in itself. A DJ, everybody's like, I'm not dancing to this music. This is not real music. Nobody says that. So it's hard to believe that type of music, if it's mamish real, but that's not a thing that's together. And that, by the way, it goes to the whole movies thing. The whole idea is to be together with people. I don't think movies is anything different than going to a baseball game, right? If you think movies are also during the 3 weeks, anything that's a together thing, that's not toyridic, that could be problematic. I'm not talking about going to the mall. I have to think that that's not such a big problem. People say buying new clothes and so on and so forth. I think it's a funny thing. We don't make Shachiyano new clothing anyway, and all of a sudden everybody's so machmir that we... I'm not so sure. Certainly during Sfiras Omer. And I always say, you know, I talk about Hefzeb Meruba, because I'm from Eretz Yisrael. So if I'm going to the Woodbury Commons, I'm getting everything cheap. Mamish Hefzeb Meruba. My wife's buying like crazy. She's going to buy an Eretz Yisrael. It's going to cost me triple the price. Anyway. Or certainly if your parents are buying it. That's for Hefzeb Meruba. In any case, let's just end off. So I think that there is room to be Mako for a music that is not live music. All live music, I think, is usher. But right, I don't understand. You're not part of this, but I don't understand the heter. Honestly, I just don't understand the heter of playing music at Havdalah during the 3 weeks. I don't understand. I understand what the basis is. Probably it was still like Shabbos. Well, if it's still like Shabbos, then you have an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay, you know what does that mean? I don't know. I just don't understand it. I've never asked Rabbi Bixen where it came from. I had Baruch Hashem a great schus at a half hour talk with Rabbi Neuberger this week about the whole heter of the 16 people and the singing and the Zimriyah. And it was very interesting when you sit down with a poysik and talk to him and see how he developed it, and that it was mamish, you know, only b'diavad. But in any case, no, it's what he said. Again, yosem mitvareinu, I think that we have to be very careful, and despite the fact we can go on for hours and hours, and it's beautiful Torah, and there are great tshuvas, as I said, with the Tzitz Eliezer, and live music, or tape music, or Moshe's tshuvas, and so on and so forth. The bottom line is that how are we thinking about Zecher L'Churban? That's really it. And if you want to accept, and I believe this is the reason why in our generation we've accepted so many Nor Chumras that nobody ever heard of before, right? People are doing all these things, and that's I think it's really nice. I'm serious now, because we're accepted because we can't feel the Chumra. We don't even know what it means. We can't start to think about it, right? And that's why I think that it is important to do some of the things. So again, I'll just, if anybody who has any questions, I'll take questions. But Yosef Midvareinu, you can't miss the you know, you're in the forest, you got to see the trees. The trees are what will lead me to Zecher L'Churban. So that's why I think one of the biggest jokes is a person wants to listen to music that's going to inspire him to think about the Churban, and he's like, ah, Sasser. It's hard to believe that anybody would say that, and I know there are poskim who say that nowadays. But it's a hard thing to believe. I don't know. Yes, any questions before we are Messiah? Good. If you're embarrassed to ask questions, yeah. It's a beautiful thing, especially during this time of the year. Certainly during the 9 days, it was a very strong minhag. Obviously, you had people like Rav Kook who said it every single night. But Tikkun Chatzos it's not so easy, by the way, to say. For us, it's very easy, right? Chatzos is not that, you know, it's almost Chatzos now. So, you know what I'm saying? We're able to, it's like when I go to sleep at night and 2 hours later the sun comes up, I'm like, what's going on? It's something you should think about, yeah, for sure. I know people who do it during the 9 days more. 3 weeks is a lot of weeks, but it's something to think about. Again, one could argue let's just say, I don't know if this is what your question is. I could either learn or take Tikkun. This is always that question, right? I could always learn or I could do that. I could say Tehillim or I could. So, yeah, so that would be a question. I don't know if you're learning so starkly during Tikkun Chatzos anyway. If you understand what you're really saying, it's a really powerful thing. Very, very powerful. There are two versions of it, saying both for sure. Huh? Sitting on the floor, they tell the stories about Cook hysterically crying. Hayitachin, we should be zeichet to have a little bit of tears. It's something that it's hard to work on. But it's something to work on. They say that on Tisha B'Av, to have tears. It's something very, very important to try to figure out. You have 3 weeks now to figure out how you can have tears on Tisha B'Av. How can it mean something to you? How you can understand what it means to have a, what we call Chil Hashem. Chil comes the word Chalal, a big opening. How do you avoid that big opening? How do we say this? How do we understand what it means? How do we bring that back? I was very happy. I heard from, I was in Walmart. I try to be, I don't know if you, anybody from New York or New Jersey, it's very hard for us when we go, right? Because they're so friendly here. It's like so out of town here. They open the door for you. It's crazy. So we have to be so machmir because they think, you know. So I was just talking. Some person was talking to me and I said, are you from the camp? From the camp. It always makes me nervous when people tell me you're from the camp. I know what they meant. They meant, the Jew camp. And I said, yeah. So I was saying, I hope we're not disturbing you too much. But so we have to tell you something. You people are so friendly and nice. It's wonderful. So I said, that's funny. We actually think you're so friendly and nice because you open the door all the time. We're from New York and New Jersey. Nobody ever opens doors. If you open the door for somebody, what do you open the door for me? What do you think? A woman can't open the door. You know, like, it's crazy. So I don't know. But you have to be very careful. That's it. Kiddush Hashem. That's what it's about. It's about Kiddush Hashem also. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, Yishkoi, thank you very much. I apologize if I kept it too long. We don't clap. It's not a presentation. But speech, it's not a speech. Anybody who has any questions afterwards, feel free to ask me. And.